All right, Maestro, cue the music. It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are sliding into summer. We're halfway through June. We're 3 days away from the solstice. It's a wonderful time of year to be outdoors, to be checking things out. One of the things that I have noticed over the last week is that, and I hate to say this without rapping on wood, but the mosquitoes are still pretty mild. Now, maybe this huge influx of rain that we got will bring them back from the dead, but they are, I won't say non-existent, but they certainly are not any kind of a inconvenience for me outdoors right now. The deer flies are more prevalent than the mosquitoes right now. So there are some advantages to this dry weather, but I suspect that over the next week or so, we'll probably see a little bit of an increase in the number of mosquitoes coming around for a bite to eat. A couple of other things. Julie Crabb sent us a note this morning about the snapping turtles that she has been seeing in the Sac Zim area and photographing these big mamas out laying their eggs and making sure that there'll be some more snapping turtles for us to enjoy in the future. And some of these girls are pretty good-sized turtles. You wouldn't want to share a swimming pool in your front yard, one of those little wading pools. You wouldn't want to be in there with them. Although, in the defense of snapping turtles, if they have an avenue of escape, like if they're in a lake, they don't want anything to do with you. If you get close to a snapping turtle in water in a lake, it's going to leave. You're not food to them. You're a threat to them, and they're going to just move away. So don't be afraid. The snapping turtles are not coming to get you. And I direct this at my wife because that's one of her big fears, that the snapping turtles are coming for her toes. Those are cute toes, dear, but they're still not food for a snapping turtle. So, yeah, stay in the water. The snapping turtles won't bother you. They are the only time you don't want to mess with a snapping turtle is when it's on land, because it doesn't feel comfortable and it can't get away. And the thing to remember about snapping turtles, now not so much the painted turtles, but the snapping turtles, is that their species name is Serpentina, and serpent is a snake. And the reason it is Serpentina is that the snapping turtle can extend its neck almost the length of its shell. So if you're looking at a snapping turtle and you see its head tucked in right at the edge of the shell, look all the way back to the back of that shell and think, that's how far its neck can stick out. So don't get too close, and don't harass them. They're most of them are, as old as me, and don't need the irritation of some stupid person poking a stick at them while they're out trying to lay eggs. So just leave the snapping turtles be. As far as painted turtles, I am not seeing very many. Now, other years, they have been a little bit late getting started, so I hold out a little hope that the painted turtles are maybe just getting a slow start. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the vegetation is interfering with their travel from the lake to my house. But usually I have a dozen or more that come up in my yard and lay eggs, and I have had maybe four or five so far this year that I've been able to keep track of. So not a lot of turtles, painted turtles, out so far this year. Looking at some of the flowers that are blooming right now, dogbane has begun to bloom. This was, I saw my first dogbane flowers on the 16th this year. The average is the 20th of June for the dogbane to begin to bloom. Canada anemone was blooming on the 13th, and that is typically the 9th of June. The high bush cranberries, the 7th of June is the average. This year I saw them on the 13th of June. I had a really interesting bit of observation. Over the years, working up at the spruce site by Marcel, I noticed that the smooth rose, the little pink roses that are blooming right now, they begin to bloom in the north earlier than they do down here in the south. And north being Marcel, Big Fork, and south being Grand Rapids. So on the 1st of June, the smooth rose began to bloom up around Marcel. And my good friend Kristen Anderson up there sent me a note about that time saying smooth roses are blooming. And the first smooth rose I saw in the Grand Rapids area that was blooming wasn't until 1 week later on the 7th of June. And the smooth rose at my house did not have a single bloom until the 11th of June. And over the years, just comparing these two, there's been a 7 to 10 day gap between when I see the smooth rose up north and when I see them in the Grand Rapids area. And it's, I won't say perplexing. It just, I guess, you know, if you're growing that far north and you know that you've got to get your flowers out and get them pollinated and get the seeds produced and you've got to get it all done, you got to start early. So they do. And so I don't know, this is just one of those things that comes up when you keep records like I do, that you are able to sort of look and say, hey, this is backwards. This doesn't seem to work. Same thing is true of blueberries. Blueberries will be ripe in Canada and in northern Minnesota, far northern Minnesota, well before they're ripe down here in the Grand Rapids area. So just keep that in mind when you're out wandering around looking at the roses and thinking about the blueberries. It's kind of an awkward situation. The average first bloom for smooth rose in the Grand Rapids area at my house is the 5th of June. Going back then, last year in 24, it was on the 4th of June. In 23, it was on the 2nd of June. In 22, it wasn't until the 11th of June. In 21, it was the 31st of May. And then 20 was the 7th of June. And 19, which was a pretty cold spring, it wasn't until the 17th of June that I actually saw my my smooth roses blooming. And this year, as I said, it was the 11th. So not the latest ever, but certainly tied for among those very late blooms for June. I did run into a new flower this year, one that I had not seen before, and it was called the lance-leaved figwort, or the American figwort. And it was blooming over by the Pennington Bog orchid trail. And you can stop there, and it is right at the beginning of the boardwalk there that's on the west side of that road whose number escapes me for the moment. But if you're headed, you go north of Pennington, just a mile or two, and it's on the left-hand side as you're going north. And it is a lovely little walk. I would suspect that the pink lady slipper, the showy lady slippers, are probably about to bloom there. There were a half a dozen or so that were at the flower bud stage when we were there last Tuesday. Now they are probably a little bit, I suspect that they would be blooming, and some of those down in the woods will probably be at the flower bud or blooming. So good time to visit if you're going to go out and look at those lovely showy lady slippers. Now is probably the time to start looking for them. There were a lot of yellow lady slippers blooming there. Most of them were the smaller ones, the moccasins. There's two types of yellow lady slippers. There's the standard, which is Cypripedium parvaflorum, I think. And then there's the Cypripedium parvaflorum macacin. And the macacin is tiny. So the slipper on the macacin is about a half inch, maybe 3/4 inch long. And the slipper on the parvaflorum is probably 1.5 to 2 inches long. And they can cross breed, so you can get some variations where you get some that are a little smaller, some that are a little larger. The one of the ways you can tell whether it is the smaller yellow lady slipper or the larger is to look at the sepals, those curlicued little things that kind of hang off to the sides of the flower, and one goes straight up above the flower. If they're sort of a mahogany color, reddish, they are generally the smaller or the macacin. If they are kind of yellowish green, they are probably the larger or the parvaflorum. So just a little bit about the lady slipper. But back to the figwort, the lance-leaved or American figwort. This plant had the most unusual flowers. It caught my eye, and I talked to Heidi about it a little earlier today, but it looked a bit like a rabbit. It's got these two little ears at the top and then this chamber that is enclosed. And the chamber is like two little body parts. Think of a snowman with a bigger ball at the bottom and then a slightly smaller ball just above that. And then above that, these two ears sticking up. And that kind of describes the flower. The flower is sort of brownish, not particularly noticeable. There is a sterile stamen that's perched right there in the opening, but you can kind of look down into this flower, and it is a good pollinator attractor, because it has nectar in it, and it does have this little pocket that makes it pretty easy to get in there and obtain the nectar or the pollen that's inside. But the figwort, it was really quite stunning and quite exciting. I mean, anytime I find a new flower, it's like, oh, discovery. And I get in there and start paying close attention. Among my usual suspects around the house, the nannyberry are done flowering. They've set their fruits. I have two black chokeberry. One I got from the plant sale that the Soil and Water Conservation Districts hold around the state. Check with your county agent. There might be one in your neighborhood, or there certainly will be one next year in your neighborhood. They're quite common. Anyway, they sell these wild plants that you can plant that are good for the environment and good for your gathering of your pollinators, etc. And these particular ones, the black chokeberry, the fruit is prized by the birds in the fall. So it's a good plant to have. But anyway, I have a varietal that is the one that I got from the Soil and Water Conservation District guys. And that one, the phenology is much earlier, like at least a week earlier than the native one, the wild one, which grows here and there in the forest. Not very common. I found it a couple of places, but I don't run into it very often. The wild one is right at the end of its bloom right now, so it is just finishing up blooming. The native, or the varietal, is already set fruit, and the fruit are quite well developed on the varietal. But the native one will set fruit as well, and it just runs a little bit slower than the wild one, or than the varietal. So I've been watching those, and we'll kind of keep an eye on them, let you know how that's going. Blackberry probably reaching their peak of bloom. Downy arrowwood also getting close to the peak of bloom. I'm seeing a lot of spittle bugs right now. Actually, you don't see the bugs, you see the spittle. And these are little frog hoppers, leaf hoppers, call them what you will, spittle bugs. They In the larval stage, they survive the winter as an egg. They hatch out as a larva, usually on a host plant. They climb up the plant. They orient themselves head down, and they stick their mouth parts in the plant, and they start sucking up the juices from the plant. And then they start shaking their tail back and forth above them, and the excess sap that they're taking in out of the plant goes through them and becomes this froth, the spittle that you see on the plant. And it's just a protective covering. And they will hang out in there as a larva until they pupate and become the adult flying insect, which will happen this summer. And then they will fly off and lay their eggs, and the life cycle will be completed. But check around and don't be afraid. That spittle is nothing. It's just foam, plant juice foam. So rub it away and have a look at the little, right now you'll see this little green larvae in there, but as it gets older, you'll uncover some that are going to look pretty much like the adult leafhopper that you're pretty familiar with, and they will be getting out and about. While I was walking around the other day, I jumped a ruffed grouse from a dust bath, and I had seen the dust bath before. It's just a little circular spot in it where the vegetation is gone, and it's kind of loose dust. And the ruffed grouse get in there, and they fluff up their feathers, and they bring that dust in under their feathers, and it kind of helps with the mites that are living on their bodies and helps to make them feel a little bit better. Bunchberry is probably at its last peak of flower. There are bunchberry flowers thick in the woods right now. Blue flag, the wild iris, is blooming, and first flowers on those were last week. Blue bead lily getting close to the end. Starflower close to the end. Just the other note that I have is I have this loon that built a nest right out in the open on my lake, and I've explained this to you a couple of times, but I went back to see when I first noticed it, and it was May 11th that I first noticed that she was on her nest. It's generally 29 days for her to incubate her egg to hatching. And so I would have expected that she would have hatched that egg by now, but on Saturday, when I spent about 20 minutes kind of watching her with the binoculars, not staring at her, but, you know, looking around the lake here and there, looking at the birds and the dragonflies, and then coming back and checking her out, I never saw her move. She stayed pretty tight on the nest. I never saw anything like a baby, so I don't know. I'm not sure what's happening there, but I will definitely be watching and keeping you posted. That's our phenology show for this week. As always, I encourage you to get outside and take in some of that wild nature. And hey, if you see something, share it with us. We'd love to hear from you.
You can catch phenology and nature reporting at our website, kexe.org, or sign up for the Season Watch newsletter. You get it every Friday, every weekend, and lots of great information there from our phenology coordinator, Charlie Mitchell.